the halacha is, to use a secular term, is a scholarly discipline. And it is not an area which you can dabble in and succeed at. You can be a sophisticated dabbler, but still a dabbler. The difference between that and a professional approach to the halacha is light years apart from each other. And that's something we need. People don't begin to realize the depth and the breadth and the scope of the halacha, how interconnected it is, and how much you really have to bring to bear to paskin any shayla. It's fundamental to understanding what Torah is. That's one of the milas in what the yeshivas have succeeded in doing. Ramea Shapira, the founder of the Daf Yomi, a chatzadik levrocha, so we made yeshiva in Lublin, the yeshiva chachmei Lublin. And there were 400 talmidim in yeshiva. So we came to the United States, and people asked him, Rebbe, where are you going to find 400 shtelas in Poland for all your talmidim? So Ramea Shapira says, he got me wrong. I'm interested in making 10 rabbonim for my yeshiva, that's it. I want 390 mevinim, that I'll understand what a rav is. And that's really been, I think, the signal success of the yeshivas, is that the talmidim that have learned in yeshiva, at whatever level they've learned, but they've learned seriously, begin to understand the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, its depth, its breadth, how difficult it is to master any part of it. And it leaves a different kavaratur, a different respect for the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah. I wanted to talk about the Brach of Shechayonu today. And I think it's perhaps at three different levels. One is the halachic aspect of it, of Shechayonu. Secondly, the meaning of the Brach of Shechayonu, just in terms of Perish Amilis, what the Brach actually means. And then a third aspect of the philosophical aspects of what the Brach is. So let's first start with the halachas. We'll go in reverse order. So the Gemara tells us in Erevin that when a chag comes, one ought to demand of Mem and Erevin that one should recite the Bicha Shechayonu al Akris. It's interesting, the language of the Gemara is similar to the language of the Gemara in Avri Pesachim, of Misadrin. Now, we know that the Misadrin is again not L'Ikuva. In other words, if you had the various parts of Havdalah independent of each other, let's say right now I had a cup of wine, and I didn't have Eishin, I didn't do B'Sam, so I'll make a Bar Priya Gofen and I'm Avdol. When I bump into someone later, I'll make a bar bini with someone on its own. When I find an aish, I'll make a bar mara aish. Chazal preferred that we do it all in connection with the kodesh. And it's interesting, the din misadvin is a very interesting din, because what it does is it removes the din of hefsek. In other words, we should have made bar priya gofen, and I should have made havdalah hamavdu. So what now? After the Bar Priya Gofen, I suddenly make a bracha on Psamim and a bracha on Ner. So why is that not a hefsek in between the Bar Priya Gofen and the drinking of the wine afterwards? So apparently that's part of the din of Misadrin, that since it's preferable to do it in this fashion, it's not to be construed as a hefsek. So the same language, the one as an Adrian, is Misadrin Alakas. So that tells us it's not Likuva, which is an important step, but it's preferable to do it Alakas. But that's why typically we make the Shechayonu at Kiddush, at the end of Kiddush. And we have the Broch on the Chag before the Broch on Shechayonu. I guess because there's a din of Todr, we make the Birchas HaChag a lot more than we make the Brach of the Shechayonu on the Chag. So I presume that's the reason. Al Kaponim, that's the way. So by every time of Kiddush, when it's a Shachyonah, when that Chag, so on the case of Kiddush, we recite the Shachyonah. The Yavids got married. And he was rather perturbed. His wife had a minhag, which seemed to contradict what it says in Shas. When she made the Hadlokas Neiros, the Brochan Hadlokas Neiros on Yontif, she also recited a Shechion. So he says, this doesn't seem to fit with the din of the Gemara. The Gemara said we should make it Alakais. So why are we not reciting an Alakais of Chazal before Alakais? But the Ayvitz was a wise man. This is not one. He had a battle with Ravinus and Avishitz he made, but this battle he decided is not one that's worth his while. So the Yavetz made a cheshbon. He said, my wife comes from a mishpocha, a very great Talmid Chachamim. So Mestavra, they have their reason for it. So at the end he says, if that's the minhag, he's not happy about it, nor is he going to try to change it either. So what was his cheshbon? He made a cheshbon. That why did Chazal pick the kais? Not dafka. There's certain things we want ala kais. We make kedushin with a kais. We make kiddush ala kais. Okay, so the kais is central to what we're doing. So the initial take of the Yavetz was that the kais is central to the shechiyon. It should be ala kais. It's a special milo. It comes the shiltus. Tosus quotes it in Arvei Pesachim. The Shiltas, I believe in Parshas Yisro, states that the idea of the coast really comes from the notion of Enshira El Alayayin. That's where it comes from. That's the root. And the Migdash Shira was Alayayin, so our Shira, when we give a daughter to the Rabbi Shalom, it's also Alayayin. It's patterned after that. Okay. So the Shechayana was also a certain daughter to the Rabbi Shalom, which should be Alakais. The Yavetz then restated it. And he said, no, perhaps that's not the pshat. It's not the coast that's essential here. But rather, when should you make the Shechion? When you do, why don't we just say, make the Shechion? Oh, good, Tzeitzah Kochavim comes. That's it, sure, make Shechion. What am I waiting for? Make Shechion Olachag. What am I waiting for? He says, Elamai, perhaps what I'm waiting for is that the Shechion should be in conjunction with the first mitzvah of the Chag. The first mitzvah that you're doing at the beginning of the Chag, Kiddush, that you're doing the Shem Kabbalah Sachag, so that's when you should recite the Shechiyonu. We could ask ourselves a little why it's not betfilah then. Not so simple. But that was his take. So he said, Mameila, women who begin the Chag with a different mitzvah, they begin the Chag with the Hadlokas Neiros. So, they associated the Shechiyonu with Hadlokas Neiros. So this basically has been the attitude of the Achayonim. It's extremely widespread, this minhag. It's not universal, but it's very, very widespread. That the women recite Shechiyonu at the Hadlokas Neiros on Yom Tov. Now, where did it come from? I have a suggestion where it came from. How it came about, and not exactly the Yavetz's way. And what I found is very interesting. In the Chayodom, right? The Chayodom lived in Vilna. The Chayodom has the minig of Shechiyonu by Hadlokas Neiros once a year on Erev Yom Kippur. There he quotes it. When it comes to the other Chagim, he makes no mention of the Shechiyonu. So we may deduce from that in the Vilna of the mid-18th century, that people made Shechiyonu on Erev Yom Kippur, and on the Chagim, they did not recite Shechiyonu at that point in Vilna. Perhaps in other places, the Yavetz was relatively contemporaneous with that a drop earlier, so perhaps where he was in Germany and whatever, in other places, it was the practice. But in Vilna, it was clearly not the practice. The Chayodim does not record it. So this opened my eyes to another possibility. That essentially, the Yavetz is right in the connection between Hadlokas Neiros and Shechiyonu. Meaning, that were the first mitzvahs hachag, they recited Shechiyonu. But not to the extent that it was meant to exclude doing it alakais. In Vilna, they made Shechiyonu alakais, and they didn't make Shechiyonu on the Neiros. But the Erev Yom Kippur, there's no kais. So now what do we do? So we men have no choice. I have to call Nigrei right when the Chag is about to begin. We make Shechiyonu. What else are we going to do? We can't do it a la kais. What are we waiting for? So in that sense, when we're about to begin the first mitzvah of the Chag of Tfilas Yom HaKippur, in effect, with the Shechiyonu. The women said, listen, if a kais is significant, then we should, when we're Mekabel Yontif, the Kiddush is in effect, maybe they made alakos, that's the Kabbalah Sayontif in effect, is in Kiddush in a certain regard. So when we're doing the first mitzvah sachag, we have a mitzvah sachag. And there is no other place really that it belongs, so we should associate the Shechiyonu with the first mitzvah sachag. So we're Makabal, they're Makabal Yom Kippur with the Hadlokas and Eros, and it's the first mitzvah sachag that they're doing, so the lady said, we're going to make Shechiyonu there. And it looks like over time, from the Shechiyonu of Erev Yom Kippur, it spread in the Shtarviv, in the Lashon of the Poskim. You know, people know that he made Shechiyonu by Neiros, people were not so discerning, this Neiros, that Neiros, you know, all the Lomdus, some were Melo, oh, my mother made it in Erev Yontif, I remember. So they also started to make it. That's what seems from the Chayodom, examining the Chayodom, That's how this minute, those were the steps in how this minute came to take place.
If a man is lighting Neiros for Yontif, does he make Shechiyonu?
No.
Or he should wait for Kiddush?
Avada, he should wait for Kiddush.
Let's say a woman for some reason has to make Kiddush on Yontif, she should also wait till Kiddush?
No, not Bedavka. If the minute is to make, she can make right away. But the men never had that minute. There's no minute by the men to make Bahadlokas Neiros. So they should zicha wait till Shechiyonu, to Kiddush. So this Lechaira. So this is Birchas Shechiyonu with the beginning of the Chag.
You have a concern about the women answering?
Yeah, I do. We'll come to that. Now, there is a downside to it. And the question is, if they were Yaitze Shechiyonu already, so you don't have a second Shechiyonu, the Shechiyonu that when they go to Kiddush, the Shechiyonu is also on the Chag. So should they answer Amen when they're not being Yaitze with that bracha? So this is a matter of concern. I think that the Inshmer Shabbos Kochosa discusses it, or Professor Frank discusses it, and they were not so happy with a woman reciting Shechiyonu. Rav Moshe says it must be that it's not a problem. He's clear. Why he say this? Does he say it's clear? Because if it would have been a problem, then there should have been mevatel this minute, not for the Yavetz's reason. Because all the problems that are made, people do answer Amen, and it's going to be done. The whole Kiddush is a question that you see the Baruch Priya Goffin and whatever. The whole mess that will make by Kiddush, Amen can also be a hefzik. Let's say I say I'm Yitzi Lechem and Aretz, and you're sitting down at the table, and before I eat the challah, you say I'm Yitzi Lechem and Aretz. I may not answer Amen to your brocha. It's a hefzik, and if I do, I have to make a new I'm Yitzi Lechem and Aretz. If I just made Al Nitilas Yadayim, and I didn't start the bracha of Amotzi, and then I can answer Amen to any bracha at that point in time. But once I said Amotzi Lechem in Aretz, it's over. I can't say Amen until I consume the piece of challah. And if I do, it's a hefzik, and I have to make the bracha again. So Ramosha said, if it would be a problem, there should have been mevatel this minute long ago. So for Haraya, then it's not a problem. But I wish I understood his lumdus. I can't grab it, you know. That's my chisaron, that I can't be yoreh to his oimik. What was clear to him remains a mystery to me. So you're welcome to read the tshuva, and maybe if you come up with a pshat that you'll be able to explain to me, and I'll be very happy, but I've not grabbed the oimek of the tshuva yet. So in my own home, the practice is that when the women recite Shechiyonu by Neiros, they do not say Amen by Kiddush. That's
still operative. Very, I mean, just it's like a slippery... People,
like,
by road answer,
Amen. So, Rama, listen, if they did, Rama Yisha said it's not a hefzik. So, you know, he certainly can be Saibach Alev. There's no problem with that. Now, the kesher with the fact of the relationship, first of all, it's Kabbalah's Yontif, number one. in the Hakdama of the Drisha on Yoredeya, he quotes two chidushim that his mother said, and he paskin the halacha like both of them. And most of the world agrees that in principle, she's right. Not all communities in Noyeg like her, that's something else. But in principle, in the Lomdus, she's 100% right. And she tied it two things, the mother of the Drisha. Number one is, when should we recite the bracha on Neiris and Yontif? So we know our practice on Shabbos is the women first light and then they recite the bracha. Why? Because the bracha is construed as Kabbalah Shabbos. So if there would be Mekabel Shabbos, how would they light the Neiris afterwards? So Mamela, the minig is the women first light and then they make the bracha. That's the minig by Hadlokas Neiris. Men, it's interesting, men, there's no such minig by men. Men are not Mekabel Shabbos with Hadlokas Neiris. And Mameyla, if a man lights, he certainly makes the bracha first, and then he lights afterwards. And it's not Kabbalah Shabbos, he can do Malacha afterwards also. It's a special, it's a minig, it's not a din of the Gemara, it's a minig that the women in history accepted upon themselves that they're Mekabel Shabbos with Hadlokas Neiris.
The woman has a need to get in the car. Oh,
so what? We'll come to this in a second. Just let me finish this point, and then I'll come back. So, the mother of the Drisha said, "Matoiv manoim." When it comes to Shabbos, but when it comes to Yontif, we should be ukma adino. The din, the Gemara is in Psochem and other places in Shas that you have to make a bracha over la'asiyosin. So the Gemara brings three psukim to establish that over means preceding. So before you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha. When do you make a bracha on a luluf? Before you yaitzi. When you make a bracha on shayfa, before you yaitzi. Tzitzis, etc. Tzvilin. That's the norm. So since on yontif, the Kabbalah's yontif is no impediment to lighting, so it should be ukmei adinu. We should go back to the principles of the halacha that a bracha has to be over la'asiyosin. We have very few exceptions that the Rishonim discuss where you make the bracha afterwards and why you do it. Whatever the Rosh, Rabbi Yonah, the first parak and brachas and the sugya of the al and the li, that sugya. So there they discuss this. Now, for example, by Netilas Yadayim and by Tfilo, we do make the brachas afterwards according to our practice. And the Rambam, in fact, they made the bracha before even by Netilas Yadayim also. So this inyan, she said, this should be ukmei adinu. So why in the world should you make the bracha after a mitzvah when there's no reason? And I said, principally the world agrees she's halachically correct. There are some that were not noyig like her. I think the Morgan of Rome. And the defense is only that not to be mechalic between one type of lading and the other. It'll get confusing. So we have one fixed practice that you always make the bracha afterwards. But the ikar halacha is certainly to make the bracha before.
Isn't it dangerous if you ignite the flame after, or with on yatif, you can't ignite the flame, even if you can light the candles?
Yeah.
So if you mowed the ish.
So good. So what did it?
So in other words, you had to be mowed the ish before you make the
bracha. Yeah, they light the
ish, they make the bracha, and then
yeah, light one candle, and then, you know. And then make the bracha, and then do the basic lighting, or like there'll be murder the match, whatever it is, whichever way they want. But that's chiddush number one that she said. Chiddush number two that she said is the following: it's common practice in Klal Yisrael that when the women light the neiros on Yontif, when the husbands come home from shul before kiddush, they light neiros. It's Shabbos they have to light before because it's a malacha; you can't light on Shabbos. But Yontif, you can light later. So the common practice is most women light the Neiris right before Kiddush. That's when they light. So the mother of the Drisha said, this is Matoiv Manoim on the second day Yontif. On the first day Yontif, it's not Matim. And they said there was an Indian to be Mekabel Yontif. And especially to be Mekabel Toysmus Yontif, or be Mekabel Yontif. So Mameyla, she said, if they have the ladies have to be Mekabel Yontif, then they should light Neiris. And that's how women Mekabel Shabbos and Yontif by lighting Neiris normally. That's a Kabbalah's Yontif and Kabbalah Shabbos. So they should light the Neiris and thereby be Mekabel Yontif. So on the first night of Yom Tov, they should light bisman, not later. And it's agreed to that there's not, again, not all communities in Noyig like that, many are not. But the equal halacha, she was right. So we have two remarkable chidushim recorded in the Hakdom of the Drisha from his mother, and they're both, Rov Minyan and Rov Binyan of Gdolei Yisrael agreed that she was on the mark. Now your question is what to do if after Hadlokas Neiris you have to go in a car. So I'll tell you, I have this problem once a year. When do I have the problem once a year? By Kol Nidre. Right? So all the times my wife, the Rebbetzin, doesn't come to shul Friday night, so it's not an Indian. But Kol Nidre, she comes. So what do we do? So she lights the Neiris, and I tell her to make a Tanai that she's not Mekabel. But she should not do any Malacha anyhow. We open the car door for her, she gets in, we close the car door, she rides to shul, we open the car door again, and she goes out. So Rav Moshe wrote, he doesn't know any Malacha that's involved in going in the car. So for that much, if there is some chash, I'm going to see Besach Frank in a tshuva that he wrote to Rav Chiel Michal Tukachinsky, it's in the back of the Gesher HaChaim, held as a chash of Marba B'Shirun. Because the more weight, it causes the Yerubur. So he held as a chash. Rav Moshe apparently held it as a groma ba'alma. I'll call upon him. So that's what we do in my family. So we make it tonight. She doesn't do any real malacha. The only thing she does is she's in the car until we get to shul and zehu. That's our practice on Erev Yom Kippur to deal with this issue. I mean, in general, you know, we only use the tonight for a real shas adchak. We don't like to use the tonight for al chatchila dika psak. Can you use the tonight that she doesn't want to be a kabbal because she wants to daven mincha afterwards? In the Chavetz Chaim, it's Mashpon the Shartzi, and that he didn't like the idea. And there are many contemporary Paiskin, the Deborah Tzina Rav, and others that said it was fine, whatever, yesh v'yesh, on that subject. So we have the Hadlokas Neira Sayantiv, it comes with the Broch of Shechianu, it's Kabbalah Sayantiv. Then we have the problem of the text of the Broch, the text. This, what should we say? Shech Yonu, Mikimonu, Vigyonu sounds like a three-peat. You know, it's, I tell people all the time, it looks like that someone's editor gave them three choices, and they were supposed to strike two, whatever, they forgot to strike two, and all three made it into the book. You know, that's what it looks like. Shech Yonu, Mikimonu, Vigyonu, ask anyone, no one will give you a shot in what this three Peter's about. But you look at all of this, they just translate it and go on like a goylem, you know what it means. Fortunately for us, the Rebbetzin had an ancestor, the Nesivus, otherwise known as the Chavos Das, the Rebbetzin's great-great-grandfather, whatever, great-great-grandfather. And he and his Agoda jumped right into the fray. And he's the only one that I ever found, Arayim, that joins the issue of what the meaning of this bracha is. I've said this many times, but I'm always fascinated by it. I have yet to find anyone else that attempted to unravel what this bracha is about. And the Nesivus tells us the following. To come to do a mitzvah, whether the mitzvah is the Chag, the Yontif, one of the mitzvahs of Chag that we have, that we recite Shech Yonu on. A lot of things have to fall into place for that to happen. The first is what does Shlomo Kalmach sing, Am Yisrael Chai. Chai Lo'ad, with the eternal people. We can't do the mitzvah unless we have survived. So Shech Yonu. Our survival, the Rabbeinu Shalom certainly has sustained us. There's no Derech HaTeva in the world that could explain our existence. And what's the Raya Lekach, that there's no Derech HaTeva that could explain our existence? The mightiest nations in the world have disappeared into the waste bins of history, with no Zecher of them left. They're them, their culture, their people, garnished, their government. So we who have been dispersed for 2,000 years, no central government, no central religious authority, no common language, no shared geography. What's the chances that we could survive in this world? Apiderach HaTeva, less than zero. And here we're the only ones that have survived. Shechayonu. Chai la'ad. But that doesn't account yet that we can do a mitzvah. The question is, yeah, there are many Jews in the world. By what principles do we live? Do we live by the Rabbeinu Shlomo's principles or not? No, we're Jews. We're here, but that's where it ends. Right? It's ancestry and culture, but you know, it's not a connection with the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So he says, we say in Baruch Shomer, you say, it's Chai La'ad V'Kayam Lo Netzach. Kayam, he says, is what the Novi and Malachi says, Ani Hashem Lo Shalisi. The Rabbeinu Shalom is unchanging. And that's Kayam, that we're here, we're unchanged. The Vilna Gaon, if he walked into Marav, it's the same Marav that he davened in Vilna. There's no question that Vilna Gaon have a different level of Kavanah than we have, but the Marav is the same Marav. Rabbi Akiva comes and we learn the Mishnah. It's the same Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva learned in his yeshiva. No different. He was the predecessor of the Mishnah, really, 100 years before the Mishnah was recorded. But what he taught in his yeshiva, that's what we learn today. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, etc. That's what we learn. It's the same Lulav and Esrog. The same Melechus Shabbos. That's Vikimonu, that the Rabbeinu Shloilom has allowed us to sustain our spirituality. And the Ayvet says that our physical survival, and even in a greater sense, our spiritual survival, that we still have the Rabbeinu Shloilom's Torah, we didn't lose it along the way. He says these are miracles that are greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. See, if you want to see miracles which exceed the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, study the survival of Klal Yisrael and the Torah and the Golus. But those two things, unfortunately, Jewish history has taught us, do not yet guarantee that we can do a mitzvah. They say, I'm here and I want to do the mitzvah. But now I need the practical means of doing the mitzvah. On Pesach I need a piece of matzah. On Rosh Hashanah I need a shofar. On Sukkot, I need a dalad minim. Who says that external circumstances, whatever they may be, financial, political, religious persecution, whatever they may be, allow me to fulfill the mitzvah? Who says? Too many times in Jewish history, we've had external obstacles. We're here, and we have the desire, but I don't have the piece of matzah. I don't have the shofar. Right? When Rav Yankov Moshe Jungreis was here, Tisha B'Av, a couple of years ago. So he described, he was a little boy, he was 10 or 11 years old at the time, 1944. So he described how, so he came there and his family, they were brought on a train, cast this train, and they came to Bergen-Belsen, and they were there with the Satmar Rebbe. They were there about a half a year's time. Came Rosh Hashanah. So they were able to daven in their part. They weren't abused in that way. They had no machzah. So they all worked, or maybe they had one machzah or whatever. So they all memorized one piyut beforehand. So one piyut they would be able to say collectively on Yom HaNorah. So they memorized one piyut, all the people. They chose the Satmar Rebbe. He wasn't the oldest, but obviously he was the most esteemed. They chose him as the Baal Tefillah for Yom HaNorah. He became aware that next to them there was a section of Polish Jews who were terribly, terribly abused. And remember, they were already under the Nazis from 1939. And they were terribly, terribly abused. And he became aware that they had a shofar. So his people went and negotiated with the Polish Yidden. I don't know if he did it or his people did it, but they, for whatever the medium of exchange, food, cigarettes, whatever it was, but he bought the shofar from them. So the Rebbe now had a shofar to blow. So that, the receiver says, that's behigiyono. We have the practical means of doing the mitzvah. He had a shofar. And he described, he said, the Rebbe was blowing the shofar, and right then the Polish Yidden were going by being driven to work by the cruel Ukrainians. And they heard the Rebbe blowing shofar, so they stopped for a second. The first time in years they'd heard the shofar. And the Ukrainians beat them mercilessly for having stopped that second to listen to the shofar, one call of the shofar, or one line of the shofar, whatever. So we need v'higiyonu, the practical hechatimtza, the practical means of being able to do the mitzvah. So when I come to do the mitzvah, I say, Rabbi Shalom, three things have had to happen. You've had to sustain us as a people. I'm here. I'm Yisrael Chai. You've had to sustain our amunah. We have the same faith, the same Torah. And after all of that, the practical circumstances of the Higiyonu, which allow us to be able to approach the mitzvah now. So that the receiver says is that's why we have these three terms. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal insight. I've said it over many times, and I'm always stunned. You know, you know that certain personalities were of the greatest Gedolei Yisrael. And you see that depth was in every area of the Torah. They were not superficial in any area of the Torah. In the halachas, in the agadas, in the machshava, all of it was with tremendous, tremendous oimek and understanding and insight. But after all of this, we're only up to the beginning. Avi Yedid, Rav Shaya Kohn, is an old Yedid of mine. Rav Shiva Zichron Aryeh. So many, many years ago, he was asked to speak, I think on Yom HaTzmaut in BTA, Yeshiva University's high school in Brooklyn. So they wanted him to speak about Halal on Yom HaTzmaut. So my friend is a very, very deep person by nature. So he said, Rabbi Yisai, yes, we said Halal, we didn't say Halal. Well, we omitted all on what the Indian of Halal is. Yeah, so somebody said Halal today. Did we stop really to consider what Halal is, what we're doing? Well, we said Halal. And it's true in many things. We have a broch of Shechayonu. Okay, we even know what the broch means now, according to the Nesibis. Okay. And what are we saying ultimately with the broch? What's the point of the broch? So do we stop to think what the implication of that bracha is? What we're saying, Rabbi Yisrael, is the following. Shechayonu was a bracha which is made on a mitzvah which comes mizman lizman. It means there's a significant weight between one time you do this mitzvah and the next time you can do the mitzvah. You can't do it regularly. I presume that's the reason we don't recite Shechayonu on Shabbos, since it comes every week. There's no big anticipation till you get to Shabbos. So, Mameila, we don't make Shechayonu. Pesach is, you know, was this thing in Yom Ha'Rom, this tremendous anticipation before the Yom Tov. So we finally come to this Yom Tov, which comes one time a year. So we're Sameach, we rejoice. But what's the joy? What are we really rejoicing about? If Shavuos doesn't look different than Shabbos, and it doesn't look different than Pesach and Sukkot, then we missed the point. Each Chag, and this is a very central point in the Maral, and this is, and as I say, unfortunately, I'm not much of a student of the Maral. I've dabbled a little bit in the Maral, but that's about it. But one of the principles of the Balei Machshava, and this is a very, very fundamental one. We, for example, and we're going to celebrate Memorial Day soon. We're going to celebrate another 5 weeks later, July 4th, right? The Independence Day of the United States. Certainly a very, very significant day in the history of the United States, right? The 241st anniversary of the founding of the Republic. Right? That's a pretty big thing. man, the country is significant, the opportunities that it's given, the freedom that it's given, whatever, all the brachas that the Rabbeinu Shalom has provided us, all the citizens in this country. But, so if you celebrate July 4th, what's the celebration of July 4th? It's what we're saying is that 241 years ago, back in July 4th, in 1776, it was an important day in the history of the Republic, that we declared our independence of Great Britain, and with the Almighty's help, we actually got away with it. And they didn't succeed in destroying us, and we actually won the Revolutionary War and established the Republic. But today, July 4th, 2017, there's no particular significance. Nothing's happening on that day. Nothing will happen on that day. The only thing that will happen on that day is if it's a nice sunny day, so we're going to have a barbecue and eat a hot dog, you know, to celebrate. But that's the beginning and end of what it's about. We don't celebrate Shavuos, and it's true of every Chag, because 3,300 years ago, this day was very significant in the formation of the Jewish people. Why? Because on that day, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us the Torah. So where would we be without the Torah? So, Mamela, let's remember, hark back to that day when the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us the Torah. No, that's not the message of the Chag, the Maral says, the Balei Machshava. That the spiritual forces which were in play on the day that the Torah was given are in play every single year on the Chag of Shavuos. The spirituality which existed on the Chag of Pesach, the Cheirus and the Gula, that exists every year when Pesach comes. The shelter that we wore by Anan Yaakov, and that special Yachas with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, which typifies Sukkos, it exists every Sukkos. It wasn't a one-time thing in history. We can connect with that each time that a Chag comes. Purim is a Zman of Yeshua and remains a Zman of Yeshua. That force of Yeshua is in the world and can be accessed. And I've mentioned many times that the Rebbetzin, because my Shrigger is a Kroiva of the Satmar Rebbe, Rav Yehl Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So my Shvigah used to send Shalach Monos to the Satmar Rebbetzin every year on Purim. And they let my wife in because she was related, so they let her into the house. So and then the Satmar Rebbetzin would send back Shalach Monos to my mother-in-law. So one year, while she was there, a little girl, a young girl, she saw that the Rebbe had a time that he let people into the house that were childless, and the Rebbe sat with them and was a spoil and cried together with them for Yeshua. It's Zman of Yeshua. It's Zman that we have to use the tefillahs of the day. It's Zman of Yeshua. So when we come and we say before the Rabbeinu Shalom, Shechayonu v'kimonu v'yonu l'zman hazeh, it means that we're taking a step back and we're focusing, what is this Chag about? The ruchniest pillar of this Chag is what we're thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom for. And as that's what I said, a Shavuos is not different than Shabbos, and it's not different than Pesach, then we miss the whole boat. And it's true of every Chag. Each Chag we make Shechiyonu because it has its own aspect to it. And that aspect is significant. Kippur is Zman Slicha V'Kapor. It remains all the Doros. When's the Yom Slicha V'Kapor? The Horaya L'Kach. It's not, Yom Kippur is not a reminder, a remembrance that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai and the Rabbeinu Shalom told him, then Salachti Kidvarecha. It's not what it's about. No one thinks that what Yom Kippur is about. That Yom Kippur is because the Rabbeinu Shalom brought forth the Midas HaRachamim at that time, and it was Mechaper for our Avodas of Klal Yisrael. It remains throughout history. Whenever that day comes, that's the Ruchnias that comes forth. That Chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that Midas HaRachamim comes forth. So when we make the Shechiyonu, we really need to take a step back before, what's the Shechiyonu about? It's good, I'm here, and I'm celebrating this Chag. Okay, Yashikayach, now what? What's the Chag? If we don't ask ourselves that question, then the truth is, then we didn't recite the Shechiyonu appropriately. We knew the Perush HaMilas of it, we know what mitzvahs, we know all the halachas, but the Ruach Chaim of it, we missed. And that's really the Yisoid Bircha Shachiyonu. It's not that I'm going to eat cheese blintzes tomorrow morning on the first day of Shavuos. It's that the Rebbeinu Shalom has given me the opportunity to access the Ruchnius that's available now. That's what's significant. That's what's significant. And I'll end just, you know, we talk about that Shavuos is the time of Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah has many, many different aspects to it. Kabbalah Satorah, in one sense, is the dedication to Talmud Torah, to learn the Rebbeinu Shalom's Torah. You know, that's more, that's certainly basic. But it goes beyond that. It's the understanding of how much schayvus we have, how much obligation that we have to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Gemara says in Shabbos that v'yisyatzvu b'sachti sahar, going to read on Shavuos, that the Klal Yisrael is kofa aleihem har kigigis. We're not going into whatever the pshat was, literal, it's figurative, but they felt a measure of compulsion to accept the Torah. Mercies Mikan, Mador Rabuloi Raisa. Robus. They had, now they have a Pischon pad that why we're not Mekayim the Torah. And then the Gemara says, Hodu Kibluo Bimeach HaShverish, Hodu Kibluo Bimeach HaShverish, that they said, Kimu Vikiblu. So there was without compulsion, was Mitoch Avo, Mitoch Simcha, that the Rebbeinu Shalom was Matzalim. So the Rishva says the reality is the Mekan Medor Rabbul Araisa is not really going to help anybody. It's, you know, if you want to quibble and you want to have, you know, if you get caught you're coming into school late, so you want to have at least some excuse. You don't want to come, you know, be a full Peshaya. So you want to have a shtickle, some shtickle teretz, some little answer to why you did what you did. So yeah, I'm a gefum for the teretz, this, that, it's over. You feel more comfortable that way than if you have nothing with which to defend yourself. So the Ritva says that's the reality. The reality is it's not a good. But nevertheless, in our heads, we could feel that there is something missing. We have, you know, in case they're going to bring me up before the Rebbeinu Shalom, I have what to say. You know, you forced me into this. You know, can't force someone to sign a contract. It's invalid. I'll take you to Besdin. Besdin shall either pass them like me, that I'm right. So if you want. So Hoda Kimua Kiblua Bimeyachashverish. So it comes out like this, that the Geirim are Mechuyev in Torah. Why? Which we say, you know, why am I Mechuyev in the Torah? I'm Mechuyev in the Torah. Listen, my great 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 grandfather, whatever, 120 generations ago, was Mekabel the Torah. So you're going to come to tell me and say, listen, my great-great-grandfather signed some contract, he's going to do this for you. So you're going to come to me, what do you want from me? So go bother my great-great-grandfather, what are you coming to me for? So why am I mechuyev? So Chazal tell us, because all the neshamas came, my neshama was also in Har Sinai, to be mekabel the Torah. Good. But there was mekan medor rabbel araisa. Hode kibluo b'meach hashverish. Good, but we don't find in Chazal that all the neshamas in history came then to Shushan. So where's the Hodeh Kibluah? So the emesis, it's lacking in the Hodeh Kibluah. They were Mekabel. But we still can run around and think that we have a teretz, that I have Medor Abel or Isa, I have a Pesashtikl teretz. Now that's the worst thing, if a person thinks that he has a way out, so he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. When do we do what we're supposed to do? Well, we know there's no way out. Listen, I signed on the dotted line and I'm stuck. There's no way out. The only thing I can do is do what I'm supposed to do. So that was the Hodeh Kibluah B'meach HaShverish. It put to rest this, you know, flimsy possibility of an excuse for not being the Kamekayim the Torah. But whoever didn't live in that door has the same problem. Is when we come to Shavuos, so we have to be mekabel upon ourselves anew, our commitment to the Rebbeinu Shalom's Torah, that a Kabbalah Me'avo, that not because anyone's forcing me, because I want to be Mekayim the Rebbeinu Shalom's Torah, I want to be an Eved Hashem. So there is what to be Mekabel each year when Shavuos comes. And it's a time, in other words, that the Kabbalah apparently is effective, that one could be Mekabalah and connects. The Neshama connects with the Kabbalah. So we're saying Shechayonah, Vikimonah, Vigiyonah, Lazman HaZeh, and Shuvas. It's a different Shechayonah than Pesach and Sukkot. Different Mitzvahs. So we need to think that, as I said, what's the philosophical implication of the Shechayonah? I'm going to Rabbi Yisrael.